everybody. Welcome to IntelliCast. It's a different voice for this episode because Adam Jolly is not in the room, and I have taken over only because he's on vacation, and I get to have the privilege of introducing a new series that we're doing. It's on the University of Georgia's Future of Insights Conference. You can go to futureofinsights.com to learn more, but it's a conference that's happening December 5th and 6th. In Athens, Georgia. The agenda is up. It's really an awesome speaker lineup and some great topics. So I would encourage you, if you still have some budget left for conferences, to attend December 5th and 6th. It's not a tiny conference either. It's I looked this morning and there's probably about 150 people signed up. So it's a pretty big conference and it's only like $250. So before I introduce the guests on today's show, I do want to say that you can reach us at IntelliCast1 on Twitter. You can email us at intellicast@emi-rs.com. You can follow us at emi_research on Twitter. And also, since Adam's not here, tweet him at Adam Jolly on Twitter. Okay, so by the way, Future of Insights Conference, which is coming up, I'm myself a graduate of the program. I have an MMR degree, which has opened up just a lot of doors for me personally. I consider it to be the best advanced degree in marketing research, unless you want to get in statistics. But there's a lot of graduates from the program. You probably work at most market research companies in America. So I would consider it if you're looking for a graduate program. There's 100% job placement. Athens, Georgia is kind of a fun town to live in. It's only a year program. It just really prepares you for a career in marketing research. And so five quick fun facts about Athens, Georgia. Are you ready for this? Number one, the MMR program was the first ever graduate program in marketing research in 1979, which is crazy. It's been around for 30 years. It's really the infancy of marketing research. Secondly, it's one of the three oldest public schools of the nation behind, I think, North Carolina, University of North Carolina, and one other one. I think William & Mary, maybe. What Ryan Seacrest went to Georgia. There's fun fact number three. I mean, how awesome is that? It's home to a lot of popular bands. REM, which was I was one of their biggest fans back in the day. B-52s, Lady Antebellum, Widespread Panic. So lots of bands are from there. And the last one, their mascot is Ugga, spelled like UGA, but it's a bulldog and it's a really cool dog. And so it's one of the coolest mascot, wins lots of awards. Having said that, let's get to our speakers. Let me talk more about the conference itself first. Lots of awesome speakers if you're looking to attend. People from brand names like UPS and Purina, Twitter, PayPal, Coca-Cola, AB InBev. So like a lot of awesome speakers from a brand perspective. Reg Baker, who's the North American ambassador to SMR, will be speaking. And then some supply side speakers, which are always awesome, like Burke, Ipsos, Skim, LRW. And then myself, I'm actually going to be speaking about technology and trust, changing market for online sample. So if you want to learn more about sample, I think that I'm going to prepare something kind of unique for this one. And part of the series is we're going to have a lot of speakers as guests on the show to help promote it and to get to know them better. So if you're planning on going down there, we'll probably have, I think, 5 or 6 different guests over the next month or so. So tune in. And then we have two to kick off the speaker series. The first one is Trisha Houston. She is the founder and COO of MMR Live. MMR was named after the program itself, and she's a graduate, obviously. But she's on the planning committee for the conference, and she's such a big proponent for the program and someone that I've kind of gotten to know over the past couple of years. She's super passionate about giving back, and she's an amazing researcher, so it'll be a good interview with her. And then lastly, on today's episode will be Will Leach, and he's the founder and CEO of TriggerPoint Design, and he is going to be talking about behavioral factors in research and marketing. So stay tuned, and you have two speakers.
Joining us now is the founder of MMR Live, Trisha Houston. Trisha, how are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm so great. This is one of the earliest we've recorded our podcast, so we're really excited for it. I'm fresh off of like a coffee and a Red Bull, so we're ready to go. But Trisha, known you for a little while, I've seen you on the conference route a lot of times, but I think one of the things that really resonates with people that listen to our podcast is like the start and like how do people get their origin in market research. So how did you get your start in market research?
Sure. And like probably most of the folks you talked to kind of fell into it.
Sure. Yeah.
My career started in experiential marketing, and actually the woman who ran the agency, it was a husband and wife, she was one of the original graduates of the UGA MMR program, but she did not stay in market research afterwards. Her name was Susan McWhorter at the time. Susan Driscoll was her married name, but she actually pushed me toward it. Kind of on the agency side, you get to kind of a pivot point when you're kind of in that mid-level of either leaving to kind of get ahead. And that was kind of the spot I was at. So she pushed me towards the program, and here I am.
Oh, that's wild. And so you got into the program, and then what is kind of like your career path been?
Since then, I actually went to the client side first.
Oh, really?
Leaving Georgia. Yeah. So it was about 10 years ago. I did a couple of years at the Home Depot in Atlanta. I live in Atlanta. I'm based in Atlanta. And near the end of that time, I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot. I was under an amazing director, Brian Stiefel. He's now at Cox Communications, but Harvard MBA guy, wicked smart. And just kind of got to the point where I missed agency life and swapped over to MMR Research, which is the parent company for MMR Live, and have been there ever since, and kind of rose through all the different kind of roles that we have, project management to business development, and now starting MMR Live.
Wow. And so what led you to found MMR Live? What did that look like?
It was a lot of things.
I would say. Yeah.
And it actually feels like we're about to be at, well, we are, I guess, at like MMR Live 2.0. And it originally started really out of a need to kind of, from my perspective, future-proof some of what we do in market research, because we all know that from an online engagement standpoint, things are continuing to be challenging to get folks to actually participate. And I think that will only increase as time goes on. And I'm a big believer, especially starting my career in experiential marketing, of the power of face-to-face. But I felt we needed more engaging method, so to speak, versus what we've done traditionally kind of in the intercept space. So that's why we really started it, to kind of create more engaging ways to drive meaningful innovation through face-to-face kind of in the moment methods.
Wow. Geez. So it's really an evolution of the method, right?
The method, and also how we engage with research teams or innovation teams,
right,
or design teams, because coming from experiential, I kind of have a design background. I don't draw, but I design experiences, and taking that mentality. I mean, I know design thinking is very trendy right now, but it's powerful to think of things in that way, that it's not a project mentality. It's a continuous improvement mentality. And really being embedded with the teams that you work with allow you to move faster. It allows you to really impact operational things that if you're not so embedded and working in that quote unquote agile way, that you're able to kind of even know what the trade-offs are or the choices that you can make.
Wow. Geez.
And Tricia, you say that MMR Live, this is on your website, by the way, MMR Live is not a technology company. We focus first on human solutions and emotion. Can you tell me more about that? Because that's interesting.
Yeah, that was a strategic decision on our part when we started up the company for two reasons. One, there's a lot of great tech out there. So why reinvent the wheel when we can partner with the best in the business? And the other dimension is we're in the experience business. And while, you know, there's definitely a lot of software in this space, the software is great for monitoring, but ultimately experiences are really built by humans, like one-to-one, person-to-person. So we have to start there, and we can certainly rely on the tech to help us make sure things are going right.
That's a great answer, and that's a great research answer as well, and I completely agree. Thank you. Let's change the topic really quick to Georgia. You're on the board of the UGA MMR program. Can you tell us more about that?
I am. So my company, MMR Research Associates, was actually founded 20 years ago by some graduates of the program. So that's where our name is a nod to that heritage. So our company is a member, which a little plug for a board membership here. So we love bringing on new companies to the board, whether or not you have an alumni connection to the program, because every year we've got about 20 to 25 students going through this program at UGA that come out to be some of the top talent in the industry. And board members, board member companies Have the opportunity to interact with the students, both through the seminar series through the year. We have two board meetings a year, which the students attend, one in spring and one in fall. And it also produces some content opportunities for those company members. So yes, I am part of the board. I'm also part of the steering committee, which is the group of folks who kind of keep things going from an engagement standpoint. So right now I'm leading the alumni efforts. And Brian, you've been helping out with that. Thank you so much. And I think we've been doing a pretty good job this year of putting some new programming in place to do some hyper-local networking events, which people seem to like so far.
Yeah, I can at least address that. It's been awesome for me to getting back involved in the program. I think that there are times in our careers where once you first graduate, you're pretty involved, I think, because it's recent. But then you start focusing on your career, you focus on your family, and life gets in the way. And then that happened to me, and I think that happens to a lot of people. So for me personally, getting back engaged has been incredible, as well as helping others get back engaged as well. And so be involved in the, you know, you mentioned the city events, and I was involved in the Cincinnati event, and that was fantastic getting to know a lot of the younger, more recent graduates. That's great that you're involved in that.
Yeah, one of the events that is coming up, I believe it's the first one, is the Future of Insight Summit coming up in December. Tricia, tell us a little bit about this. What does this entail? What can people expect as far as that might be attending the event?
Yes, that is the one that's coming up next. So this is our big kind of flagship event. It will be held this year, in December 5th and 6th. Actually on campus in Athens, Georgia, which if you have not been, is an amazing college town. So attendees can definitely expect a great experience in general with visiting Athens. But the program the committee has put together is outstanding. We actually had more submissions than we could accept, which is always the position. It's like a double-edged sword, right? You want to make sure you have a lot of interest, but you hate not being able to take all the great ideas we had. But we were very thankful to be in that position. I think the program is focused on, like the title says, the future of insight. So we've really pushed all the folks who are participating to make sure that they're kind of helping us look ahead in some different topic areas that we kind of put out. So very excited to see. It's going to be a jam-packed day. We've got a very busy agenda.
Yeah, it seems like it. I've seen some of the agenda. It looks like some of the attendees as well. And to me, it's bigger than just MMR. Like, this is a huge conference for people to learn in.
Yeah, and that was actually very intentional because this event has happened before. We changed the name this year. Previously, it's been called like the Reunion Summit, which can seem limiting, even though the content in previous years, which the last one was 2 years ago in 2017, wasn't just for alumni. It was very much so an industry event. And so we welcome everyone. Come visit us, learn more about UGA. But ultimately, this is really about taking the industry forward. You know, it's bigger than the program itself.
Yeah, I hear you. That's awesome. Well, thanks, Tricia, for that kind of info about the Future of Insight Summit. I'm excited for it. I know Brian's attending. He's very excited for it. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a lot of the speakers and the people that are attending the conference talking a little bit about the conference and what they expect from it, too. So hopefully that'll get people more excited for this awesome event coming up.
Cool. Yeah, we're excited you guys are doing that. I'm interested myself to hear the interview.
Well, Tricia, we always usually do a research rant right now. And I know that you have a rant that you're pretty passionate about, and I'd love to hear it. It's about marketing.
Yeah, so we're right off the heels, and I did see, you know, Brian Peterson from your team last week at Insights Marketing Day, which was a great event out in Denver. We all survived the second largest temperature swing on recorded history, like an 80 degree temperature swing to be at the event, which was a bit intense. But
let's talk the pack for.
From a rant perspective, when I think about marketing, and I talked a little bit about this at the event, that I think the word marketing is so limiting. It makes it seem like a silo, and that it's a department, and that it's just a list of tactics. But I just implore people to really think about everything that your company does is marketing, which can seem really daunting, but it's not a department. Everything has the ability to help build your reputation. So work across your organization, think about culture, internal alignment, And a big rant in this space is operate with purpose, but that doesn't mean you need to operate with a cause. They do not equal each other.
Ooh, I like that. I talk about purpose all the time here and how you're operating with a purpose, but I like the cause thing is different. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit more about that. What do you mean by the purpose versus cause?
I think there's a trend, especially in the brand world nowadays, right? Which I get the social responsibility trend, right?
Right.
I get it. But if it's not authentic to what your brand was founded on or the direction your brand wants to go, it doesn't really make that much sense to me. I think a lot of times people think, well, if I need a purpose, that means I'm going to go save the environment or work on solar power or, you know, something cause related. But it's really about being authentic to what your organization is, which could be, you know, like maybe you want to make a difference in your employees' lives, right? Maybe that's what your purpose is. And that's okay. Just have a North Star, have a direction you're going.
All right. That's awesome. Well, thanks, Tricia. We're going to shift now into the four P's. This is our take on the marketing mix. We talk about four words to start with the letter P, so we can get to know a little bit more about you personally. First is playlist. So what are the last three songs or artists that you've listened to?
I have been on a 90s rock kick because I actually got to go to a concert the other week with Collective Soul as a headliner. So nostalgic. So the last, I pulled up my Google Music. I had Aerials from System of a Down, Interstate Love Song from STP, and The Kids Aren't All Right from Offspring.
Jeez, that's great. When you started off with System of a Down, I was like, all right, where's this going? That's awesome. Let's go into pages now. So what is a book you would recommend that people listening should read?
Dare to Lead by Brené Brown is one that's really resonated with me this year. And in full disclosure, though, I'm a Blink list reader, which is kind of the Cliff Notes subscription version. So highly recommend that as well.
That's good.
Limited amount of time. I get it.
Yeah. You're busy. I mean, if you were to go the whole time, like, I just sit around all day and just read books. Next one is perform. So what is something that people don't know about you? Do you have a hidden talent?
Tap dancing.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I grew up, the lady who was my dance teacher was a Rockette. So we would do Rockette style tap routines. And I still have the videos.
That's great. The last one is people. This is our Mount Rushmore. So we asked you to think of a topic that you could do a top four of. Could be anything. And you chose video games, which is all I can't believe we haven't done before here. We recycle the same ones over and over again. Nobody ever tells. So, Tricia, what are your top four video games?
So we're a PlayStation household, so all console titles. But Skyrim, Borderlands 2,
okay,
Portal 2, and No Man's Sky.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. The sequels are better than the originals.
I've never heard of any of those video games. Have you?
I've heard of Skyrim and Badlands too. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you have young children that probably play video games, right?
All the time. My kids love video games that they've never played before.
Oh, these are definitely not kid friendly.
No, not at all. Exactly. Like my 7-year-old, like I was like, what do you want to be for Halloween? He's like, oh, I want to be this from Fortnite. I want to be this from like Red Dead Redemption. I'm like, you've never played that game. What are you talking about? Brian, what's your Mount Rushmore video games, Brian?
Well, this is going to date me. Video games have changed over the past few years. I went with Tecmo Bowl, which got me through college.
That was on my list as well.
Mario Brothers, because it's the king of all video games and all spinoffs. And then I went with Galaga.
Galaga?
Yeah, Galaga was my favorite video game of all time. Love it.
That's awesome. I had Tecmo Bowl also. I put Mike Tyson Punch Out.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's pretty nice. Do you remember the Simpsons arcade game?
Yeah.
I used to love that game where like Bart had the skateboard.
They all had little weapons.
Yeah, they had like a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
That was on mine. And then recent one, me and my 7-year-old played Mario Odyssey on the Switch every day. And I don't know if there is an end to the game. It just keeps going. But I'll put that on my Mount Rushmore. It's awesome. That's great. Well, Tricia, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I'm sorry, could you give the dates again for the Future of Insight Summit?
Sure, December 5th and 6th.
Awesome. And then is there a Twitter address we and everybody can follow you at?
Sure. At Tricia, T-R-I-C-I-A, B as in boy, Houston, H-O-U-S-T-O-N.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Tricia. We look forward to hearing more about the conference as it comes up and just the awesome work that you're doing at MMR Live.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Great. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks to Tricia for joining us on the podcast. Looking forward to hearing more from the Georgia people. And we have an interview right now. This next interview is with Will Leach.
Joining us now is Will Leach, CEO of TriggerPoint. Will, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on, knowing that you'll be speaking at the Future of Insight Summit at University of Georgia in December. It's a great conference, a lot of things, and excited to have you on and kind of share your expertise and your passion.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to it for a while now, so can't wait to get in the into the session and share what I have to say.
Yeah, well, Will, I think one of the biggest things that our listeners really come up with any interview, whether it's for a conference or whatever, people want to know where people got to start in market research. And it always starts the same where everybody's like, well, I fell into it accidentally. I had no intentions and then I just stayed. But what is your origin story in market research?
Well, I fell into it accidentally and I had no intention to say. No, so, you know, my background, it is a little bit of that. So my background, I started off in the U.S. military. And when I was in the military, I was coerced, I guess, or certainly instructed to go to college. And I went to college and actually was in college. I went to University of Florida and had a degree or got my degree in economics. And then I moved over to Texas A&M University to get a degree in applied economics. And it was there where I was working under this professor my first semester. And I was looking at futures, forecasting, right? So I was going to do some economic modeling, and I hated it. I could not stand that I was looking at data sets of like fertilizer rates and temperature for the last, you know, 120 years. And so I went and told him, I said, I am so sorry. I think I made a mistake by coming to school here in Texas. And he said, well, the good news is you found out early. The bad news is you can't work for me. But I know that there's some group over there in the business school called marketing research, because I don't know what they do, but I know they use like regressions. And so I went over there and I talked to a guy and I took my first marketing research class and I was freaking hooked. What was so great about it was that, you know, I was trying to use econometrics to understand, you know, future crop yields and things like that and trying to understand this. But in marketing research, we're blessed to try to use all these different variables to try to understand the most complex system ever invented, right? The human mind. And I fell in love with this idea of using these tools to understand why we do what we do, to predict what we're going to do. And so I fell into it. I couldn't stop getting enough of it. And I'm here 22 years later, still in the same field and still as passionate as ever.
That's awesome. Tell me, like, so from that, you started market research, and then since then, you kind of caught the entrepreneurial bug. You've either founded or you run several organizations, you know, Mindstate Group, TriggerPoint, things like that. What led you to start these organizations? What was kind of the trigger for those?
Yeah, you know, I was a classic marketing researcher. I started in the energy industry. I moved into biotech, and then I found my way over to PepsiCo. And when I was at PepsiCo, I was working for the Frito-Lay division, and I was doing the classic marketing research, you know, roles, right? I did brand insights, and then I did innovation insights and helped, you know, launch a few brands. But then I got the opportunity to start working in shopper insights. And that's understanding, you know, kind of the human behavior around shopping, which most companies are most interested in. And it was there that I found and I kind of was introduced, I guess, to this idea of behavioral economics and that this whole science around the psychology of decision making. Now, this was back in 2008, 2007, where a lot of these things that we just take it for granted that people know, system one, system two, non-conscious drivers, motivational psychology, all the stuff that we kind of talk about today, back more than a decade ago, not many people knew that. And I was introduced to this concept and I ran a laboratory over at PepsiCo called the Smart Lab, the Shopper Marketing and Retail Testing Laboratory. What it was to me was this beautiful experiment where I got to test everything neurologically. I mean, taste tests, concept tests, package tests, ad testing, everything neurologically. So we had five neuroscientists on staff, but I also had the ability to run experiments inside this laboratory. Things like, what happens when you increase the music or the tempo of music? What happens to shopping behaviors? What happens when you bring people into confined spaces? Like if you're in the line for a checkout, where do people's heads turn? And it was there that I started understanding or wanting to understand more and more around behavioral science. And it's the classic thing in corporate America, right? The minute you love your job is when they want to rotate you to get a new leadership position.
Right.
And I was like, no, this is what I want to do. This is it. This is what I want to do with my life. And they were like, no, we think we want you to start considering a job, you know, with Quaker Oats and selling oatmeal. And I was like, I can't do it. So my wife, you know, also working at Frito-Lay and Insights, she said, you know, I was reading this book. I'll never forget. I was reading this book really late. It was like 2:30 in the morning. And she leans over and she's like, will you get out of here? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm so sorry, you know, because I have the light on. She goes, no, just leave Frito-Lay. She's like, you're never going to study and read about chips the way you do about this. So just get the hell out of here already. So she's like, leave corporate America. And that's what I did because I saw this gap between human understanding and all the great methodologies that all the people that you're going to talk to at the MMR conference, right? They're going to see all these great companies. There was this gap between those companies and then application, like driving those insights into marketing. And I was doing that for better part of 20 years. So that's why I started the entrepreneurial thing, not to go so much into only research, though I love it, but it was the application of these insights into marketing, into innovation. And so that's why I formed TriggerPoint, which is a company that does both. So we have two parts of that company. And I felt like that was where my vision for where researchers should go. And I'm going to talk about that I believe our future is really heavily weighed in our ability to apply human understanding, not just insights and figuring out why people tick, but what do we go do with that? And so that's what my passion was when I started the company a few years ago.
That's huge. And I think about that a lot. I think about that kind of with every conference I go to. So I love like IIEX. It's awesome. And every time I go there, it's all different types of applications and tools and insights, but not so much of like action items. Yep. Like what do I do with this now? You know, and then I wind up thinking like, well, they've got it all figured out because I can't figure it out. It's going to be on stage. But I love that. That is such a huge thing. I was thinking about the action items and the things like that, and rather than just like the measurement part all the time.
Well, and that's why I wrote the book, right? So I also wrote the book Marketing in Mind States because I was like, why should I be on stage talking about all these things? And yet people in the audience are going, it sounds great. I'm a believer. But now what do? Do I have to go call TriggerPoint to do a study? Like, why do I have to do this? And so I was like, you know what? That's stupid. Why don't we just give all this stuff, all the application stuff out to people for free? So that's what we did. So it was like, my idea was the more people who are using behavioral psychology to drive human behavior, whether that's through an innovation, whether it's through a service you're offering, whether it's through marketing, whatever it is, we will all benefit as an insights industry. Because the more people who are using these sciences, the more people will ask us, well, how do you do it? You know, whether it's a BVA group or whether it's MMR research or whether it's TriggerPoint, whoever, like, how do you do it? And we all win. So that's why I kept thinking to myself, we've got to get to a place on this stage where we're saying, here it is, like, go apply it, go use it for free, just go do it. Because ultimately, as an industry, we'll all kind of rise with that tide. And I think conferences like MMR, the MMR conference, are getting us to a place where more and more people are going to say, it's not just insights, it's application. And hopefully, a decade from now, we're not doing research conferences at all. We're doing application, human understanding, and human persuasion conferences. And just research tends to be a tool that we are using to get us there.
That's huge. Will, I know you mentioned the book and you mentioned the conference. Talk to us a little bit more, like, what are you expecting from the conference as well? I know you've mentioned, you know, what you're going to be speaking about and what the book really entails. But to me, like, I'd really know, like, what's your dream situation? Like, if you're leaving there, like, what are you like, man, I'm glad I got that.
That's right. So I think right now that the research industry, and I know we've been saying this for years, but I can make the case that for years we've been going through a shift. And that shift is relatively seismic. And I think the shift is coming from a couple of different angles. So it's not just my passion, which is behavioral sciences, though I hope that it shifts in that direction. There's no guarantee that it will. Because a couple of years ago, everyone was talking about neuro. Back in 2010, right. I was all in the neuro space and I was using it at PepsiCo. And that was the seismic shift. And nowadays, there's a seismic shift in storytelling, but there's also the shift in do-it-yourself and things like that. Here's what I want to get out of this conference. I want to see all of these different possible shifts. And I want to see everybody's take on it because there are going to be people that are going to be at that conference saying, it's not behavioral science, it's design thinking, or it's not design thinking, it's storytelling. It's not storytelling, it's analytics, big data. I don't give a crap. what right. angle it is. I just want to hear about these angles. And if we're smart, we're going to figure out, because there is no right solution to any of these problems. Like, our industry is predicated on the belief that understanding human behavior is important. Predicting it is the second most important thing. And then influencing it is the third thing. And if I need storytelling to do that, awesome. If I need big data to do that, great. Behavioral design, like my book, let's do that too. So I'm hoping we get all these different viewpoints. And on our best day, we would all sit up on stage, all these different points of view, and not debate to say who is better. That's stupid. That's not a debate. What the debate should be is, how can we all integrate together to actually provide value in an industry where marketers and innovators are looking at marketing researchers? And I would say in many cases, in a marginalized way, it's do it faster, do it cheaper, just get me something so I can move on. And that's not the place I believe researchers want to live in. So I would love to get that out of the conference.
That's awesome. Well, next thing we do is we do a research rant every week. Normally it's Brian talking about something he hates in the industry that keeps our lights on. But I was wondering, do you have a research rant?
Brian, it's my turn today. So I'm going to give you a research rant today. And though it may be a slightly delayed one, since I have the audience on hold, I'm going to tell you it's the book, The Great Hack, or it's actually the documentary, The Great Hack, that's on Netflix. And it's the whole documentary around Cambridge Analytica. And what it does is it is placed for those people who are not kind of close to the research industry. It makes researchers look as if we're these purveyors of behavioral data and we're manipulating elections and things like that. And the fact of the matter is if anybody with any kind of a background in the marketing research industry, when you watch that movie, you're going to think to yourself, we as an industry have been doing that for decades, using behavioral data to understand how to better market. Now, the product in that case was politics, right? And in that case, yeah. And frankly, I'm not suggesting that, you know, the Facebook side and how they got the data, you know, that I'm all with you. That doesn't feel right to me. But the issue, I think that overstepped its boundaries a bit by saying that these companies are manipulating elections. And I could tell you stories over a beer. And I will, if you will be there where I know a guy who is behind the scenes in that stuff. And he would say, Will, that documentary had so many things off, but yet it took an entire research industry. And now it's like, I have to answer questions from my employees' wives on, hey, Will, like, my wife is asking, are we doing these things? Are we manipulating people? I'm like, no, we just run segmentations to better understand people. And we're delivering products and services that they want. Like, that's called marketing research. So my rant is that The Great Hack took an entire industry and made us look like we're these devils. And that's not the case. We're trying to deliver great products and services written in a way that makes sense and marketed in a way that doesn't kind of make you anxious when you're going to go buy this thing. And so don't watch that movie. Just come to me over a beer and I'll tell you the inside scoop on all that stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, last couple of things we're going to do is kind of a rapid fire of things to get to know you a little bit better. And so we're going to start with playlists. So what are the last three songs or artists you've listened to?
On the way in, I listened to Soundgarden because Chris Connolly's voice is so – or Cornell, I'm sorry – is so incredible, his voice. So I was listening to Soundgarden on the way in. I am still a big fan of Bill Withers, if you can imagine. I love Bill Withers. And my third one, let's see. I was driving from the fair yesterday and we're listening. My kid loves Imagine Dragons. He thinks that they're the most incredible band. He has no expansive understanding of bands. He's 10. But Imagine Dragons was on our playlist just yesterday as we were driving home.
I 100% agree. I don't know. I think that is like Imagine Dragons, like their ideal buyer is a 7 to 15 year old. My kids love the drums. I don't get it.
Hey, they're fine. I'm okay with it. They can't be the best of all time, but it's always a Matt. He's going to even do a play or no, the talent show. And he's singing Imagine Dragons. Like, come on, just can't you like juggle or something? Make your dad proud by juggling like axes or something.
That's great. Next one is pages. So what is a book you would recommend that people should read?
Yeah, I got a good one for you. And it's a little bit hard to find, but it's called An Economist Walks into a Brothel. And what it's going to do is it's a really fun read that takes a lot of different points of view around risk and how risk influences our perceived risks influence our daily activities. And so if you want to kind of understand more about behavioral science from a really creative, fun way, An Economist Walks Into a Brothel, it's from Allison Schrigger.
Wow. I'm going to read just the title alone.
That's what got me, right? Like, that makes sense. That's pretty risky. I'll do it.
The last one we have is perform. So what is something that people don't know about you? Do you have a hidden talent of any kind?
Wow. I don't know if it's a talent per se, but something that people don't know is, so I was originally in the U.S. Army, and I never wanted to go to school, college. My whole family are former, they're all veterans, right? All the men have always been in the military. And one thing that people don't know about me was that I was actually selected to go and be on the Secret Service detail of Vice President Al Gore, though I chose not to do it. Nothing for anything political, but they wanted me to sign a 4-year re-enlistment because they wanted to get me a top secret clearance that could take 2 years. And I knew the things that I did back in high school may make that top secret clearance not come through. And I didn't want to be in Korea for 4 years. So I kind of backed away, but I was almost on the detail theoretically for Vice President Al Gore way back in the day. That says how old I am too. I'm not sure if I should have said that.
No, it looks great. It's great. I love it, man. That's really cool.
That's one of the best talents we've had on.
That is one of the best ones.
I read your bio, Will, and I saw that you do multiple Ironman competitions. I thought you were going to go with that, but I guess it's somewhat related to the.
Either one makes me sound really sexy to listeners. So maybe you're right. I appreciate you bringing that in, so it makes me feel double sexy today.
Not a problem.
Oh, that's great. Well, thanks, Will. I appreciate it. We both appreciate you coming on. I know we can find you at the Future of Insights Summit at University of Georgia on December 5th and 6th, but is there a better way that we could reach out to you? Is there another way to reach out?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, on the social media channels. Behavioral Design. Oh no, that's Skype. Behavioral Designer One on Skype, but my Trigger handle is Trigger_Pointer. And LinkedIn always awesome. Works for me too. LinkedIn is a good one.
That's great. Thanks so much, Will, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks to Will, and thanks to Tricia, and thanks to the viewers to listening to the podcast. We'll have another one soon with some of the other speakers from the Future of Insights conference, probably in a couple of weeks, so stay tuned to that. And as always, thanks for listening.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.